with my life. What key did I put it in? Worthy of every song we could ever sing, right?
The lyrics disappeared.
Yeah. I got it. Don't worry about it. What's the name of it?
Build My Life.
We could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Feels low. I don't like it. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Feels deep. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. That's your song. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. It'd be nice if y'all all sang that with me. All right. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show.
Shaken, and I will build my life upon your.
open. You know what? I think we should let it breathe and just like have like a little instrumental part right there and then go into the hook. Yeah, like, no, just play out. Play out, yeah. Because that's like an opportunity to worship and then go into, we can bring it down into the chorus. And I read, holy, there is no one like you. Here. Want to try that? Ready? I gotta run right after. Yeah. Oh no, the end of the bridge. Big. We'll put my trust in you. Oh. Like the best song of the whole thing, right? That's good. You ready? Will, he ready now. All right, do you need me? You guys are good?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
is off. Okay, here we go.
Saturday was silent. Surely it was through. Since when is it possible ever stop? Friday's disappointment. Sunday's empty tomb. Since when is it possible ever stop? This is disappointment. Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has it possible ever stopped? Since the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out.
Big screen is blank.
My God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah. Is anything that he can do? The tone that was the tomb in the garden. I feel it moving in now. I feel it moving in now. I feel him doing it now. Do it now. Do it now. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
When I was in South Africa last year, I preached at their church in Johannesburg, South Africa. ISN Church, welcome. Now, that was on Wednesday. She might have invited more than 33 by now. But I want her to tell how she did that. And so she's going to come up and speak for a moment. And I want you to watch this 30-second video, the Bill Weiss video. And then Dolores is coming. She's going to tell you how she invited 33 people in just a matter of 3 or 4 days.
My name is Bill Weiss, and I'm the author of the book 23 Minutes in Hell. I will be speaking at Ascend Church.
Wow, Dolores, that is amazing.
Fit for Church.
Well, good morning, Ascend Church. We welcome you to stand with us this morning. Those watching online, we welcome you to stand and worship with us as well. Before we sing one note, I want you to shout out, praise the Lord. I want you to shout out, praises unto God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Lord.
John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that I may give you life and life more abundantly. If you're seeing death and destruction, it's because someone's a part of that old life. But here we're alive in Christ Jesus. Even dead, old bones have to come back to life. Come on, let's make something rattle in here, gentlemen. Let's go.
Saturday was silent. Surely it was through. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment, Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise that a dead man walk again.
Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live, gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Yeah. My God is able to save and deliver and restore anything that he wants to. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah if there's anything that he can. Come on. Just ask the stone that was rolled at the tomb in the garden. What happens when God says to move?
Praise make a dead man walk again.
Open
the grave, I'm coming out.
I'm gonna live again.
Open the grave, I'm coming out.
I'm gonna live again.
Open the grave, open the grave.
I'm coming out.
I'm gonna live again.
This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Come on, can y'all hear it in the room? Can you hear it stirring? Those dreams that you thought were dead, that the Lord gave you, and you haven't seen them come to pass. I declare in the name of Jesus, they will live. They will live. His will be done. Come on. So we're going to declare together. We're going to prophesy over ourselves. And we're going to call those dead, dry things to life. Come on, come on, come on, live.
make a dead man walk again.
Open,
open the grave. I'm coming out. I'm gonna live, gonna
open
live.
Open the grave. Open the grave. I'm coming out.
I'm gonna live, gonna live.
Dry bones rattling. Somebody shout hallelujah. Lord, we worship you in this place. For you alone are worthy. Thank you, Jesus.
Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
Give
At this moment in the service, we are going to have our prayer partners come forward. And if you are in need of prayer, we want you to come up front, and we're going to pray with you and agree with you. Don't be shy. And we're going to believe with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reignite the fire in the sky. Return us to our first love. We need revival. I won't make it. I won't last without you in my life. You help me. You lead me. You meet me where I am. God, I surrender. Lord, here I am. Still in your presence, I lift up my hands. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me again. I need revival. I need revival. Baptize me. Come on, help me.
Purify, immerse me
within.
Not one thing
can satisfy like heaven
inside.
God, I surrender.
And God, I surrender. Lord, here I am, still in your lift up my hands. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me again. I need revival. I need
revival.
God, I surrender. Lord, here I am, still in your presence. I lift up my hands. Come, Holy Spirit, fire, Lord. Do, 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 do. Mm-hmm.
What I see as peace, you see as whole. What I think is empty, you'll overflow. What I call my weakness, you call my strength. I lay my life down to find it again. What I see as pieces, you see as whole. What I feel is empty, you'll overflow. What I call my weakness, you call my strength. I lay my life down to find it again.
You see as whole. What I feel is empty, you'll overflow. What I call my weakness, you call my strength. I lay my life down to find it again.
What I call as pieces,
you see as whole. What I feel is empty, you'll overflow. What I call my weakness,
you call my strength.
I lay my life down to find it again.
And God, I surrender.
Lord, here I am, still in your presence. I lift up my come, Holy Spirit, fill me again. I need revival. I need revival.
If that's your desire, come on and sing this prayer with us.
Baptize me. Purify me, I need revival. Baptize me,
I need revival.
Come on and surrender and purify me,
I need revival.
Oh, I won't make it,
I need revival.
Oh, without you I won't live,
I need revival.
Everybody across this room, if you can hear me, I want you to put your hands up and surrender this morning. Lord, we ask you for a refreshing, a new thing. Lord, we need you. We need a new refreshing, God. We've been worn down through the troubles of life, but God, we surrender it all. Refresh us, God. We've come to meet you and encounter you, God. Fill us with your presence. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
We honor you in this place, God. We honor you in this place, Lord. We honor you in this place.
of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill with your heart and lead in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. And worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Yeah.
all around this room. Open your mouth. Give him worship. Give him praise. Hallelujah. We serve the King of Kings. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Yeah. Oh. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you, God.
Amen, amen. Is there a sweet presence of the Lord in here or what? Woo! I think our 21 days of prayer and fasting, today is day 21, correct? I started early, so I ended a couple days ago. But can you just tell a tangible difference when you fast and you pray? Just a sweet presence of the Lord. The band, you did awesome. Let's give them a round of applause. Woo! You guys are killing it. Hannah, I love it. I love it. I love it. Brings me such joy. Well, why don't you turn and welcome someone, greet someone, say hello, and have a seat. To keep singing, right? Quit playing that song. All right, well, I just want to welcome everyone who's also joining us online from around the world. Hello, hello. We're glad you're watching. And Ascend members, if you're not here today, I know my mother, hi, Mom, she's home watching. She said she would just be online, so that's fine. So we are so glad you guys are here. We're going to be passing an attendance register so we can keep track of who's here. Our pastors love to reach out if you're not here and see what's going on, if they can pray for you, so please be sure to fill that out. Check in on Facebook, share the broadcast on your Facebook page. Let's use social media to share the gospel and reach others. Amen. So share that. You can share the live stream on Facebook. It's on YouTube, in the Ascend apps. There's many ways you can watch because we need to be constantly filled with the Word. Amen. While you're driving in your car, while you're washing dishes in the kitchen, just you can put on the app and listen. It's good to be constantly feeding the Word. So we have a Facebook page, an Instagram page. Make sure you follow us to stay abreast of all that's happening. What else? Thank you. Oh, new guests. Yes, I said that. Oh, if you're new here, new visitors. I know we have a couple friends of Luke here today. Welcome, welcome. We have a little gift for you. I'm not sure if there's anyone else, but we love visitors in this church. So thank you for being here today. And invite people. Remember, we're not here just to keep building ourselves. We need to be sharing what we know and getting others to come to Jesus. Amen. So invite those coworkers when you're in Publix and you see someone and you're like, oh, maybe I should. You have something. You see someone, you're like, oh, I should ask them if they need prayer, right? We want to invite people to church. Another thing to stay in touch, make sure that you have our... you can scan the barcode on the back of the seat, right? And if you text ASCEND to 561-745-5404, we will stay in touch with you via text messages as well, all those communication things. So again, to remind you, our purpose of our church, right, is to help people know God. That's why you're going to share what you know with others and invite others to church, right? You're going to find freedom. You're going to see what the Word of God says so that you can find freedom. You're going to discover your purpose. What has God specifically called you to do? Why are you here on this earth? You're going to find that. And then you're going to make a difference in the lives of those around you. Amen? Because what's the point of being a Christian if we're not doing all those things, right? We want to be active, alive. And when you give, you are filled, right? We're not just made to pour, 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 pour. Where does all that go? We need to be giving it out, right? You're going to be sick if you eat and eat and eat and nothing leaves. It's not good. So let's keep it going. So, I'm sorry about that visual. Okay, so now we're going to honor the Lord. Who here wants to honor the Lord with your life, with everything you do? Amen? And in the way that we're going to honor the Lord right now is with our tithes and offerings. Now, I mentioned this last time, I've been reading through the Bible completely with a group of girls, and we've been in 1 Kings. And this is where David had collected all this wealth, and he wanted to build a temple to honor the Lord. But because he was such a warrior and had done some things, God said, no, you can't build the temple, but your son will. So David wanted to honor the Lord, so he collected gold and silver and timber and just all kinds of things so that the temple would have supplies ready to build. And so the chapter that we've been reading, Solomon has finally built the temple, and he does this. He gets on this like 7.5 by 7.5 by 4.5 foot tall. I have so many like facts in my brain now from reading. But he gets on top of this altar in front of the congregation of Israel. They moved the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies, and he does this prayer of dedication. And it's amazing. And Solomon says in verse 23, he says, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in all heaven above or on the earth below. Keep your covenant and show unfailing love to all who walk before you in wholehearted devotion. Now, then he goes on to be like, if they sin and do that and they pray, please forgive them. If they sin and they do this and they pray, please forgive them. And if they, you know, he goes through all these things because God had laid down a bunch of commandments and rules for the Israelites to follow. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have quite all those technical things, but we have been given commands to obey, right? If you want blessing and you want to honor God, we need to obey those commands. And then he goes on in verse 36. He says, this is King Solomon now, teach them to follow the right path and send rain on your land that you have given to your people as their special possession. Now, you've been given a job. You've been given a family. You've been given land, right, that God has entrusted you with. And if you want God to bless you and to fill you and make sure all your needs are met, what has he told us to do? To tithe, right? To give 10%, right? That is a command in the Bible. So if you want to be blessed, and you want God to do over and above, do miraculous things in your life, you're not going to get that if you're not obeying his word completely, right? So I encourage you to tithe. I have a quick story. So you know I love to travel. And I had been invited to this conference, and I booked a ticket with my miles on the way out. But coming back, I was like, shoot, I don't know what I'm going to, or something, my flight's changed, and I had to fly with this girl. And I looked at the price, and I was like, oh, man, that's kind of pricey for a plane ticket. Gosh. Should I just come back to Florida? Should I go there? What should I do? And then I'm like, okay, this is not my problem. This is God's problem. I believe this is a divine invitation. I'm not going to worry about it. What's this money to God? He's my supplier, right? So I do that. And I'm in Delta, and I log in, and I'm like, fine, I'll pay the full price on my credit card. So I type in my credit card info, and I hit submit. And in like a split second, I'm still fuming, but I'm trusting God. And the screen goes black. You know how when you pay, like all you see, so all I see is the menu bar at the top, and the thing is spinning. And since all I see is the bar, I look over and I see like 21,836 miles. And I went, I had miles in this account, and I just paid with my credit card. Grr. I was so mad. And this is all in like a split second. But I was like, no, I'm trusting God. And then all of a sudden, this error pops up, and it goes, there was a error processing this page. Would you like to retry or cancel? Now, it usually says, don't hit the button twice or you're going to get charged twice, right? Isn't that what it normally says? It never says, would you like to cancel? So I was like, exit, exit, exit. And I was able to buy my ticket with miles. Praise the Lord. So it's little things like that. When you're a faithful tither and giver, God moves and makes a way. Amen. So I encourage you to trust the Lord with your tithe and offering. So let me pray over that. Father, I thank you for the believers in this building, Lord. I thank you they have a covenant with you like King Solomon and David, and they are looking to you to supply all their needs. So I thank you, Father, that as they give, they are in covenant with you, Lord, and I thank you that you are supplying and meeting every need, Father, and that they will have testimonies to share of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and while the offering bucket is being passed, we are going to watch a quick video message from Pastor Steve.
ISN Church. Welcome, everybody. So glad that you are here. Pastor Jill and I are in San Antonio, Texas this weekend. I am preaching for Pastor Theo and Beverly Womerantz at Christian Family Church. When I was in South Africa last year, I preached at their church in Johannesburg, South Africa. He so loved my message, he asked me if I would come and preach it in San Antonio. So we had service last night, Saturday night, and of course again Sunday, and we're flying home this evening. Now, our son's going to be preaching today, Luke. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But today is the last day of our 21 day of fasting and prayer. We have been fasting and praying since January the 9th. I want to just commend and thank everybody who joined us and fasted and prayed. And I want you to know that we are believing that you are going to see amazing breakthroughs in your life in 2023. Now, next week, February 5th, we have Bill Weiss is going to be speaking. Bill is the author of the New York Times best-selling book, 23 Minutes in Hell. And Bill is going to tell about his terrifying experience in hell. The Lord took him and showed him hell, and he's gonna tell us all about it. And we're doing this as a soul-winning event. Some people may wonder, you know, why are you talking about hell? Because God doesn't want anyone to go to hell, and I don't want anyone to go to hell, and hell is real. And so this is an event to win people to Jesus, to win souls. And if you haven't invited anybody, I really want to encourage you. Please help us and invite as many people as you can to this event. We've been handing out these invite cards the last few weeks, and even when you came in today, and we've been asking you to invite people to write their name on the yellow portion and tear off that yellow piece and bring it and stick it on the board up there so that we can pray for them. And you know, today I was having my hair cut, and there was a lady in the hair salon, and she started talking to me, and I invited her to the Bill Weiss event, and I wrote her name down, put her card up on the board, and I'm praying that she will come. And, you know, we're promoting this in every way we can. We have the promo video playing on social media, on our Facebook. I think we've had like 11,000 people see it. We're showing that commercial on 18 different TV networks, 262 commercial spots. And I'm believing and praying that God's going to use that commercial to draw people. But let me tell you that the most effective way of getting people here next Sunday is through you. The most effective way is a personal one-on-one invitation. And, you know, I was talking to Dolores, one of our members, Dolores, this week. She takes the pictures here. And she told me that she had invited 33 people this week to come to the Bill Weiss event. They all confirmed. And she brought in all the cards. And I thought, man, that is amazing. And I wanted her to get up and tell you how did she do that. Now, that was on Wednesday. She might have invited more than 33 by now. But I want her to tell how she did that. And so she's going to come up and speak for a moment. And I want you to watch this 30-second video, the Bill Weiss video. And then Dolores is coming. She's going to tell you how she invited 33 people in just a matter of 3 or 4 days.
My name is Bill Weiss, and I'm the author of the book 23 Minutes in Hell. I will be speaking at Ascend Church in Jupiter, Florida on Sunday, February 5th at 10 a.m. I will be sharing an out-of-body experience that God gave me where He actually took me to hell. You will hear how horrifying hell really is, but more importantly, the scriptures that verify what I saw. Please invite those who are skeptics or those who do not believe in God or hell.
Good morning, family. How many children of God do we have here? Raise your hands. Actually, stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Yes? If I say to all of us, God is good, what would you respond? Thank you all the time. Yes. Now, as children of God, and we have our biological parents also, but as our Heavenly Father, are we here to just receive, 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 take, 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 me, 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 me? No, family. We are to share Jesus with the world. And it all starts in our own day to day. I am so excited. I've decided to be a signpost for my Lord and Savior. A signpost for his glory, for everything he's done in my life. You all know I should be dead by now, but by the grace of God, I am alive. As you all know, I had a brain aneurysm, and no more. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I know this in my heart. I live by this. I don't do church on Sundays only. I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. This is a day-to-day thing. I speak to him, and I have learned to hear his voice as well. In a nutshell, I've shared Christ with others. I've done that at my son's school. It's so simple. Just talk to strangers. It's fine. If you get nervous, and I get nervous, just pray before that and say, Lord, I'm about to do your will, because it's scriptural that we need to share Christ. Father, not me, but you go before me. When people see me, that they don't see me, they see you in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And so anyways, I just pray. I talk to people, I talk to strangers, and they receive it. I only got like two or three people that were, one of them was very, very mad, like I saw it on her face. But those are the people that need the Lord. Anyways, I spoke to her anyways. She didn't want to take the card, but I told her about Jesus. She has ears, so those words will not go back void, okay? The seed has been planted.
So where, at your son's school, where else did you invite people? Like, where else?
Yes, my son's school, where I pick him up. At jiu-jitsu. Yes, the everyday jiu-jitsu, because they are, you know, they do sports. My work, my neighbors. It's easy, you guys. Just take the initiative. The Holy Spirit will lead you.
Amen. Let's give Dolores a round. Thank you, Dolores. All right. I forgot to mention we have many ways to give. If you miss the offering bucket, PayPal, Cash App, online. Anyway, just wanted to remind you all of that. Okay, and now we have one more video.
Wow, Dolores, seated. That is amazing. Thank you for inviting all those people, and we're praying that they will come. I hope you're inspired to invite people. In fact, right now, I want to ask you, let's just pray for every person who's been invited, all those names up on our board in the lobby. Just stretch your hand toward it right now. Father, we pray for every person that has been invited to come to the Bill Weiss event next week. And we just pray, Lord, that you would draw them by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. We pray that nothing will hinder them, nothing will stop them from coming next week. Thank you for drawing them, Father, working in their heart. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I also pray for anyone who's seen the TV commercial about Bill's meeting next week, and I pray that you will use that commercial to draw them, Father, that they will come, that they will receive Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We believe in God to see a lot of people get saved next Sunday. Amen, everybody. So let's get out this week, hand out those invites, bring as many people as you can next Sunday. Now, today, we are so glad to have our son, Luke Barry, is preaching today. Thank you, Luke, for coming up here to minister to us. We're so proud of Luke. He and his wife, Francesca, have been married for 11 years. They have three children, Roman, who's 6, Olivia, who is 3, and Penny, who's a year old. And Luke is the worship pastor at VU Church down in Miami, a great church, and they've produced some amazing worship albums. And Luke wrote many of those songs and co-wrote on many of those songs, and He also preaches at VU Church regularly. He's a great preacher. We're so proud of him. Won't you please give a big Ascend Church welcome to Luke Barry today.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are we feeling? Good. Good to see you. Thank you, Uncle Tom. It's so fun to be back at your childhood church, because you got people that know you from when you were 10 years old, and they know all the bad things about you. But it feels like being home with family. I also brought some friends with me today. I got my buddies Nate and Paul hanging with me. Give it up for these guys. Paul was so kind. Nate picked up coffee for us and from the city. He was driving down to meet us, and then Paul drove. And so they're really making my life easier this morning and serving and helping me. Praise God for you guys. And then I was surprised. Some of our best friends, Solomon and Marina, surprised us, showed up today. My wife, I think, told them I was going to be here, and they walked in the doors, which is awesome. I love you guys. These guys are amazing friends, but they're getting ready to start a church in 2024 is the plan. Chell Church. I'll let him explain the meaning behind all of that, but they're planting soon, and they're in the process, and they're just amazing. It's always fun to have a great preacher sitting in the front row. It's like, I feel like we should tag team this thing, and just, I'll throw it to you and be like, what do you know about this? And he could go, he can preach. But it's good to see you guys. Thank you for having me. It's always an honor to get to preach anywhere and get to be here and to be on the stage. I just love my parents, and obviously the man that I am today is a direct result of their leadership in my life. And I'm just so thankful for parents who honor God. They raised 4 children starting at 19 years old. By 28, they had 4 kids and started a church at 28 with their 4 children. That's pretty insane. Moved to a new city in Cape Town back in South Africa, then moved us all over here at 36 with a, 17-year-old, 15-year-old, 11-year-old, 6-year-old. And now that I have children, I understand what that's like to move 10,000 miles and start a church in a high school. And I so honor their lives, and I'm so grateful for them. And they're the best, incredible examples. And they're the reason that myself, my sisters, all love God and serve in church today. And so I love it. Mom and Dad, wherever you are, I love you guys. Miss you. Oh, they're in San Antonio, Texas. I know exactly where they are. It's probably preaching as we speak. But it's an honor to be here. I'm excited. And today, I just want to share something with you that's been on my heart right now at VU. I bring you guys good reports. God's doing amazing things in Miami, and we're just so thankful. We are also on day 21 of our prayer and fasting. So we started the same day as you guys, Monday the 9th. And we've been praying, fasting. We've had prayer gatherings every Wednesday, 7:30 a.m., 7:30 p.m., This last Wednesday, I had an incredible night in church, and God's just moving in our church, and we're very thankful. This is year 8 for us. We celebrated 7 years in September, and it's just been amazing. And the fact that we just survived the pandemic and lockdown, and church is still alive, and it's just proof that God is not done working in our city and right here in Jupiter. And so it's just cool that we're different churches, different cities. But 21 days, we're praying and fasting together. We're believing for the same things. We put our faith in Jesus. It's just, it's always a good reminder to get outside. I mean, you're here. This is a different space for me. Just to be reminded that God's working all across the world. And every Sunday, believers gather in the name of Jesus. And it's beautiful. And so at VU, we've been having this conversation for the past few weeks. We've called it Happy, Healthy, Holy. And so I just want to preach to you on that subject today. Happy, healthy, holy. Somebody said happy. Say healthy. Holy. I don't know about you, but like, it's my firm conviction that until February 1st, it's the new year. Okay, so like, we can still talk about the new year. Like, man, it's Happy New Year, everybody. Exactly. It's January 29th. We haven't hit the cutoff yet. How many of you want to be happier in 2023? Anybody want to be healthier? Anyone join a gym? Any new like commitments to work out? Nope, no one. All right, praise God. We're going to work on that one today. I'll focus on healthy today. How about anyone want to be holy, holier this year? The real Christians in the room. We want to be happy. We want to be healthy. We want to be holy. I believe that this is God's will for our lives. I believe that that's God's will for your life, that you would be happy, that you would be healthy, and that you'd be holy. But what I've learned about God is exactly what Allison was preaching, that if you want God's will, you have to go God's way. If you want God's will for your life, he wills good things for you, but he has a specific way. God, he's not exclusive, he's specific. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm not a way. I'm not one of the ways. There is one way to God, and it's through Jesus. And it's not to exclude people. It's to make it clear to people, if you want a relationship with God, there is a way, but you have to go God's way. And so God wills for you to be happy, healthy, holy, but we have to learn the will of God. We have to submit ourselves to his way. In 3 John chapter 1, this is what the Apostle John wrote to his good friend. He said, Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. And that's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for you this year, that all would go well with you, that you would experience good health as your soul is getting along well. But you know that happy, healthy, holy is not something you go out and find out there in the world. It's something that if you're going to experience these things, this is an inside job. This is something we're going to have to experience from the inside out. God's going to have to do a work on the inside of us, because happiness is not an external thing. It's not something you go find or buy or pay for. And there are a whole lot of things the world will tell you about finding this. I'm telling you, the only way you're going to find this is at a soul level. It's not an external thing. It's going to depend on an internal change in your life, an internal relationship with God. The key to happy, healthy, holy is a transformation at a soul level. And that's what I want to talk to you about for the rest of the time we got together. We've got to go God's way in order to walk in God's will. So, of course, the million-dollar question is, what is God's way? How do we live the way God has called us to live? And we could talk about that for the rest of our lives. That's basically what church is all about, learning God's way, learning how to receive a revelation of the truth of God, and then to apply those things to our lives and to change and to grow. And that's a lifelong process of transformation. But in Matthew 22, Jesus is asked the question that really reveals the way of God, how God has called us to live our lives. It's a famous passage in Matthew 22, starting in verse 34. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he gave a second. He wasn't asked for it, but he added one on. He said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said something significant. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. What Jesus is saying is the entire Bible can be summed up in these two thoughts. Love the Lord of God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, with your soul, with your entire being, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I think, for now, let's focus on this love your neighbor as yourself facet. We'll get to the beginning in a second, but I think it's interesting that Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. It's something we've heard. It's a common phrase, but I think there's some embedded assumptions in this statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think Jesus is assuming, or he's communicating, that a healthy person loves themselves. A healthy person knows how to love themselves well. And then I think secondly, what you could kind of infer from this statement is that if you don't know how to love yourself, you probably won't be able to love other people very well. If you're going to love others properly, you're going to have to learn to love yourself properly. And Jesus is not advocating for narcissism. He's advocating for self-care, for a healthy soul. He's setting a standard for what it looks like to love others. And the standard is you got to love other people as you love yourself. And so I do think we're going to have to learn to love ourselves if we're going to be able to love others effectively. Amen? So we got to learn to love and care for our souls. The problem is some of us, all of us to some extent, aren't very good at loving ourselves. We're not always the best at caring for our souls. So like I have three small children. And I don't know if you've ever tried to fly with three small children, but it's not the best experience in life, you know? Last September, it was my son Roman's birthday. He turned 6, and he's obsessed with his grandparents, or really his great-grandparents, and they live in Cincinnati, Ohio. Beautiful place. It is, but yeah. They live in Cincinnati. His great-grandfather's 89 years old, Grandpa Tony, and we wanted his great-grandparents to get to meet Penelope, our youngest. She's one, and we hadn't been there, and they haven't seen them, and at this point, they're not flying and traveling down, so for his birthday, he wanted to go to Ohio. So we said, all right, we're going to bite the bullet, and we're going to put the three kids on the plane. Shout out to Paul. Paul has an 8-week-old. She's already been on the plane 3 times. This guy's crazy. He's taking her up to Minneapolis to see the family, but we got on a plane to go to Ohio. Now, if you take 3 kids on a plane, you've got to be aware of the social dynamics here. As you're walking on the plane, people are kind of holding their breath and crossing their fingers and praying to God that you're not sitting next to them or behind them or in front of them. I actually took a trip to Israel in November with our pastor's 3 children, who are 4, 2, and 1, something like that. Maybe now 5, 3, and 1. Little kids, and I get the joy. They were in the row behind me. And he has 2 boys that are crazy. Their names are Wyatt and Wild, and Wild lives up to his name. This kid is borderline naked the entire time. 12 hours on this flight with this kid. And they're amazing, but it was a wild ride. It was fun. We have some friends that when they fly with their kids, they actually bake cookies the night before, and they hand them out to people that are sitting around them as a peace offering to say, hey, we're sorry, and we hope that you can forgive us. But flying with kids can be wild. But when you fly with your kids, I started to notice some things about flying that maybe don't always stick out to you if you're single or if you don't have children yet. And one thing is the safety announcement that they make. So when you get on a plane, you know the safety announcement. They say, hey, in the case we lose cabin pressure, some oxygen masks will come down from above you. And what do they say? They say, before you secure someone else's mask, secure your own, right? And maybe if you're single, you're like, dude, I don't worry about anybody else, you know, like, I'm going to take care of me. But when you have kids, maybe this starts to become counterintuitive, because your knee-jerk reaction as a parent is, I'm going to take care of my kids first. But the reason they tell you to do this is because you can't take care of your kids if you don't first take care of yourself. If you lose cabin pressure and there's no oxygen, if you're trying to take care of your kid, you pass out. There's no one to help them anymore. And so I think it's a beautiful picture of this idea of soul care. It's not about self-love and self-obsession and I'm going to put others second. It's about, if I'm going to serve people, I have to be healthy. I have to take care of my soul. And I think it's a good reminder for us, man. You can't take care of yourself if you don't understand yourself. And soul care is not selfishness. It's stewardship. It's caring for what God has given you. So maybe in 2023, if you want your life to be different, you want your life to be better, you want to grow, maybe the path is not to focus on growth. Maybe the path is not to focus on results. Maybe the path is not to focus on progress. Maybe what we need to do is focus on getting healthier. Because as we get healthy, how many of you know, healthy things, they just grow. This is how the world works. This is how the earth works. If a field is healthy, it'll produce. If a person is healthy, you will continue to grow. It's a byproduct of health. Healthy things progress. Healthy things gain. And so I think in order for us to get healthier this year, in order for us to be happier and holier this year, we're probably going to have to go a little bit deeper on our care for our souls. Amen? Like, you are the product of your behavior in life, the things you believe and the things that you do. So if we're going to continue to progress and grow, we're going to have to continue to change. We're going to have to learn about ourselves in a deeper way. I don't know what you're dealing with today or what you're struggling with. We all have hang-ups and weaknesses and challenges and problems, maybe even addictions in this room. But we know that that God wants us to grow, and who you are becoming and where you are going is more important than where you are. So we have to be real about where we are. We have to assess ourselves realistically and honestly. We got to be vulnerable. But then We have to have a vision for where God wants to take us. God has a person, a man, a woman, a father, a leader, a minister that he wants you to grow into, and it's a lifelong process. And we call this process spiritual formation. Now, I don't know if that's a phrase you're familiar with or that you've learned about. I know what kind of church this is. This is what we call a faith church. I know what my dad does. He gets up and he preaches every Sunday to your faith. He's preaching to build you up and to go like, you can do anything. God can do anything. And he's a faith preacher. And I believe in that. I'm hoping I'm doing that today. But there are certain streams of the church that maybe emphasize one thing over another. I don't know if you're talking about spiritual practices and spiritual formation every day. So if this kind of language is foreign to you, go with me today. But I think spiritual formation is something that's happening in your life, whether you know it or not and whether you like it or not. Whether you believe it or not or understand it or not, you are a spiritual being and you are being formed every single day. C.S. Lewis said, the reason that the little decisions you and I make every day are so important is the principle of compound interest. Because every little decision you make is forming your soul. And eventually you're going to end up somewhere that maybe you never expected, positive or negative. So when you look at someone, you go, how could they possibly become that depraved or that lost or that wicked or that evil? The answer is one step at a time, one day at a time. No one starts there. And then maybe you look at someone and you go, dude, how is that person that virtuous and that kind and that loving and that joyful and that generous? Well, it's one day at a time and one step at a time. They have been formed into the person that they are. And everything in their life has gone into that process. So you are being formed day by day. The question is, are you being formed by design or by default? Is there intentionality in your spiritual formation? Do you know the things that are shaping your soul? You're being formed for better or for worse. You're being formed for evil or for good. You're being formed for richer or for poorer. Now we're getting into the vows. Yeah. You're being shaped and formed every day. And I just defined it this way. Spiritual formation is the process of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ for the glory of God and for the sake of others. Spiritual formation is the process of being conformed to the image of Jesus for the glory of God and the sake of others. That's what's happening in your life. If you're a believer, that's what God wants to do. But it takes you surrendering your soul to God. Surrender your soul to God. Jesus in Mark chapter 8, he said a famous line. He said, what good is it for you to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? Or what can someone give in exchange for their soul? What is Jesus saying? He's saying your soul is of absolute importance. It is, what's the value of your soul? Your soul is priceless. He said there's nothing that's worth trading for your soul. What does it benefit you if you gain everything and lose your soul? Your soul is the life center of your being. It's what's happening at the core of you. It's what's directing and shaping your life. And what I'm learning in my life is that you cannot take care of something you don't understand. So we've got to get a deeper understanding of our souls and how formation works so we can get intentional in this process. So how many of you know, like, if you don't understand something, you really cannot steward it well. Like, think about your marriage. So much of our problems in marriage are just the result of a lack of understanding. If you can learn to understand your spouse better, your wife better, your husband better, you can steward that relationship better. If you can understand relational dynamics better, and you can read body language better, and you can communicate more clearly, how many of you know your marriage is going to get healthier? How about your job? Have you ever, like, had a job where there's not clarity on how to win in your work? Like, I don't really know what my boss expects, and so I don't know how to do a good job. I can work, I can show up, but I cannot steward my role because I don't understand my role. And as you get clarity, all of a sudden you go, I know how to win. I know what he expects. I know what she wants from me, and you start to win in your life. It's true with your team, with your work, with your money, with your schedule. You can't manage money until you start to understand it. And this is why Dave Ramsey is worth $600 million, because he's teaching people about something that is absolutely critical in life. So we got to develop a deeper understanding if we're going to steward ourselves. We believe that God's way is better than our way, but we have to obey his way, and we have to learn his way. So Jesus said the greatest command is to love God with what? Our heart, our soul, and our mind. And I love these words that he's given us. It's my love of God that grounds my entire life. First, you love God with your entire being. And I wonder if we fully understand this passage, because if we don't fully understand it, we can't steward it. So let's look at these words that Jesus gave us, the heart, the soul, and the mind. Now, as I've started to study spiritual formation more and more, I realized, man, I don't know enough about my soul. So we're going to take the next 20 minutes that we got to talk about your soul. Have you ever tried to explain something you don't understand? It doesn't go well. I remember one time I was in a meeting at work. Every Monday we have this meeting. It's called our director's meeting, where all of the people that oversee a department get together. It's about 10 of us, 12 of us. And we do like a two-hour deep dive meeting from noon to 2 o'clock. And we go through an agenda and we go through all their stuff. So one time I was in this meeting and kind of zoned out. It's a long meeting, you know. And I was sitting and Pastor Rich was talking. He explained something and he said, Luke. And I like looked up and he was like, I love the way that you explain things. Could you maybe just reiterate what I was saying? Could you just clarify that for us? And I was like, oh, God.